It's Monday, the 9th of May, 2016. Happy birthday to Nemanja Bjelica. Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Loot Crate and Darkwing 30. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you are watching this podcast live and you want to interact with the show on YouTube, as you can do with each show, all you need to do is tweet at me at redrock_bball. That is the place to find me and interact as the show is going live to air. Of course, if you want to be like Darkwing 30 and be a sponsor of the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be said sponsor. That would be great, and it helps the show tremendously when I go to sponsors and try and get things happening in that realm. So thank you to everyone who has done that so far. We are here to talk about Sunday's games. We're here to preview Monday's games. We've got one series in the books, which we'll talk about. But
let's get to it.
I can't talk unless Michael Bolton gets us kicked off, and we're off. Let's start with the monstrous line of the night for Sunday's games, and it has to go to Kevin Durant. He put up 50 FanDuel points. He was priced at under 10,000. I was a little bit cautious. I was very cautious about using him yesterday. Turns out it would have been the right play, but he put up 50 points. He put up 41 actual scoring points in 43 minutes. He hit three triples. He had five rebounds, four assists, and a steal. He had 29 points in the second half of this game. He outscored the Spurs on his own in the final quarter. He was 10 of 13 in the second half. The Thunder shot the ball tremendously well. Durant was fantastic. He got the better of Kawhi Leonard after struggling throughout the first three games. That's a tremendous win for the Thunder now to be 2-2 heading back to San Antonio for Game 5. And at the moment, the Thunder do have the advantage because... I know they don't have the advantage. What am I talking about? It's 2-2. They needed to get their victory, though. Especially heading into the fourth quarter when San Antonio had the lead and the Thunder had a huge last quarter. If they didn't get that, they were stuffed. They were finished. They obviously need to get a victory coming up here. If they win Game 5, it's massive for the Thunder. But Durant was fantastic here. After somewhat of a slow playoffs, he wasn't the best in the Dallas series, wasn't the best so far in the Senate. He's been good. He hasn't been spectacular, but he was spectacularly good in this contest. The best DFS value play of the day was Dennis Schroeder of the Atlanta Hawks. He was priced at 3,800. He's always a tough... You can't use him in cash games, or you can't use him at all now because the Hawks are out, but you couldn't really use him in cash games because you just don't know how they're going to use him. Turned out this was a Schroeder game. He played 26 minutes. He put up 37.6 FanDuel points. He ended up with 21, 3, and 6 on the court. He hit a 3. He had two steals. He had a block. He closed out the game over Jeff Teague, who was poor again, and it leaves a lot of question marks with this entire Atlanta team. What does Al Horford do? Do they trade Teague? Do they trade Schroeder? There's definitely been times when Budenholzer has preferred to use Schroeder. There's also been times when Schroeder's been terrible and Teague has led the way. Maybe they run both those guys out there, but with the way that Schroeder has spoken in the last offseason about him wanting to become a starter, he's either going to force a trade in this offseason, or Teague's going to go, or he's going to leave for nothing as a restricted free agent. I guess we have to wait. Well, he won't leave for nothing because the Hawks can always match, but he'll just be a mighty pissed off character. He might even do it Greg Monroe style and play through, you know, for 1 year at the tender and then become an unrestricted free agent. That could be a possibility too. So the Atlanta Hawks have got some definitely interesting decisions. Schroeder, as I said, for DFS, you know, when he starts, he's going to be a great fantasy option. Not necessarily a great player, but he's going to be a great fantasy option, DFS and seasonal league-wise. But for now, his role was just too up in the air. We could never predict when Budenholzer was going to go to him, and that made him a tournament-only guy. But if you played him in a tournament, it would have worked out pretty well. On the flip side, Jeff Teague was terrible. He was great in Game 3. Terrible here, 6,500. He is the dud of the day. He put up 9.4 points in this game. 22 minutes, 5-2-2 with a steal and a 3. Definitely not the best way to close out his season after a pretty good Game 3, not including that flagrant foul on LeBron James. Everything I just said for Schroeder goes for Teague. We don't know what the future holds for both of these guys, and it's going to be a very interesting offseason in Atlanta. Let's take a look at the perfect DFS lineup now from Sunday's games. At point guard, of course, it was Schroeder who put up the 37.6, and Russ Westbrook at 11,000. He went for 47.9, was inefficient again, but had a ton of assists, a ton of counting stats, and obviously filled that point guard spot there. at shooting guard, we went with a couple of cheaper options, or the perfect lineup had a couple of cheaper options. Iman Shumpert at 16.6, which you would have had to been guessing to put him in there. But Dion Waiters at 27.1, he was a guy that I was interested in, and the role was his, the minutes were growing, and he was primed for a big one, and he had a big one here. At small forward, it's where you had to spend your money. Durant had 50, LeBron had 46.5, and it was just picking two of the three, including Kawhi Leonard there. Leonard was the worst of those three today, but that was obviously the place to spend your money. At power forward, we had Kevin Love again with a big night, 46.6. He was ridiculous from three. And Chrissy Humphries with his second straight big game, 23.9 at 3,800. At center, big Steve Adams has been tremendous throughout these playoffs, really coming of age. He put up 32.2, and that lineup would have netted you 328.4 points. It would have been pretty nice to have gotten that. Hopefully you guys won some cash in your DFS games today. That would be, I'm sure that's awesome for you guys if you did it. And I know that some of the listeners on this that listen to this podcast have won a tremendous amount of money. One of the listeners who messaged me the other day only said he's been playing since February. He's already won himself, I think, $25,000 in profit just from playing since February. So that is absolutely amazing. So congratulations to that person. You know who you are. I've spoken to you personally. Saving up money. He's won all this money from DFS, buying himself a new car, which is absolutely tremendous. And you know, great work and great hard work to get to that spot. I know plenty of you other guys listening to this show have won yourself some cash. Maybe not quite to that volume, but that's a pretty significant chunk of money that that person pocketed over these last couple of months. So congratulations to them. All right, today's podcast, as I mentioned, is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items and more. Each month, the guys at Loot Crate have a specific theme, but it lasts only until the 19th of that month at 9 p.m. Pacific. After that, that crate is gone. The collectible unique items are done. They will not be reissuing those, so make sure you get involved before that date. If you are interested in Loot Crate and all these neat, nerdy, geeky, gamer-type items, head to lootcrate.com/redrock. It tells the people at Loot Crate that you came from listening to this podcast. And if you are interested in the things that they've got, the subscription offers that they have, you can use my coupon code, which is REDROCK. It's one word. It's what we use for all the coupon codes. And it saves you $3 on any new subscription. This month's theme is power, and with the onslaught of big summer blockbusters, May is the perfect time to celebrate some of pop culture's unstoppable, unrelenting, and unbeatable characters and objects. There's something you can carry, they've got something for your kitchen, and there's a cool figure that goes along with a monthly t-shirt and pin. There's two Marvel items, there's Warcraft stuff, there's Dragon Ball Z. No one Loot Crate should have this much power. So head across to lootcrate.com/redrock and check out all the stuff that Loot Crate is offering for this month. All right, let's take a look at these games, just breaking down the performances in a bit of detail. Cleveland and Atlanta, not much point going through Atlanta too much. I've talked about Teague and Schroeder. That's probably the biggest issue there. Onto the Cavs, Love was fantastic. He had 8 triples. He went 27-13 with 4 assists, and he seems reborn at the moment. They're running that lineup with him and Channing Frye a lot more, and it's working offensively tremendously. Frye played another 20 minutes. He went 8-1-1 with 2 triples, and the Cavs can really just sit around and relax now. And while the Raptors and the Heat basically just beat each other up, unsure whether they're going to go with more Love and Frye in the next round. We'll see that obviously as it happens, but it's been so successful. Mozgov out of the rotation, Thompson limited as well, and it's been really tough to stop. And we've seen that the Cavs morph into a really unstoppable offensive team throughout this series. LeBron almost triple-double, 21-10-9 with 2 steals and a block. Irving had 21-2-8, and Shumpert off the bench went 10-3 with 2 steals and 2 triples. A big night from him. He'd struggled to get over 15 minutes in most of the games, so to see him getting 18 and putting up big numbers, a little bit of a surprise. The Cavs didn't have this one their own way. They only got over the line by 1 point, but that's all that's needed. And now they can sit on their asses for a week or so and wait it out. J.R. Smith, not great. He had 3 points in 36 minutes, but he did a tremendous work defensively, which he had done all season. On to the Hawks. Not much really. Look, I don't really need to go through much of that. The issue there is the point guards, and we'll see how that all resolves itself over the offseason. But obviously changes are going to happen. Horford got a big decision to make. They have to make that decision. What happens with Kent Bazemore? Is he coming? Is he going? What do they do with Kyle Korver, who's moved to the bench in this series and obviously looked like he'd lost a step throughout the series, or throughout the season, in fact? Lots of questions. They've got a star in Paul Millsap. They've got And then what do they have? Teagan Schroeder, maybe Korver, maybe Bazemore, maybe Horford. Who knows what this team has got? It's a, you would think that they look like they're destined to a bit of a drop-off next season. So a very, very interesting offseason in Atlanta. The second game was the Spurs and the Thunder. The Spurs, as I mentioned, had a lead heading into the heading into the fourth quarter at the end of the third quarter, but the Thunder was tremendous in that last quarter to get over the line. Kawhi, not his best night, shooting just 7 of 19, but still went 21-6-2 with 4 steals. Parker had another big game, 30-plus minutes for the second straight game, 22 points, 3 assists, a steal and a block, and 10 of 16 shooting. His shooting has been on fire. He's been super aggressive, and he looks like Tony Parker from 3 or 4 years ago at the moment. Manu played 22 minutes. He had 9 points, a pretty decent night from Manu, while Danny Green, only the 28 minutes, did not score. He had 5 fouls as well, which kept his minutes down. 0 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. So still some other numbers, but not a great night. Aldridge was bothered by Serge Ibaka. He went 8 of 18 for 20 and 6. No other stats for LaMarcus, while Boris Diaw chimed in with 11 points in his 21 minutes. Timmy Duncan is basically irrelevant in this series. He only played 12 minutes here, scoreless, with 3 boards and no other stats. That's 2 games in a row where he's been under 15 minutes, and with the way that the Thunder are playing and the way that Steven Adams is playing, it's hard to find a way to get Duncan back on the court for 20-plus minutes. You would have to think that this is going to be his last season. Maybe he goes again. He's 40 years old, but he's really struggling at the moment in certain matchups. And you imagine if they get through and they have to face the Warriors, it's going to be a similar situation. He won't be able to exceed 15 minutes a night. And it's pretty disappointing for all basketball fans that Duncan is sort of being marginalized in this way. Rightfully so, but it's happening. On the Thunder, Stevie Adams has been tremendous. Another 36-minute night, 16 and 11 with 2 blocks. I get the feeling that Adams is going to be an absolute lock for standard leagues next season with the way that he is coming on and the way that Billy Donovan is trusting him more in these playoffs. Westbrook had 14 points on 18 shots, which is bad, but 7 rebounds, 15 assists, and 3 steals got things going, and they got the victory more importantly. Waiters had 17, 3, and 3 on 7 of 11 shooting. That's unrealistic, but he will have those games occasionally. So you know that he's always a guy at that cheap price in DFS tournaments to keep there in your back pocket at shooting guard. And he's going to go off and he's going to win you some money on occasion. Enes Kanter actually played 28 minutes here. So we saw Kanter and Adams play together quite a bit. 11 and 8 for Kanter. Not his best night, but a lot better than what Serge Ibaka provided offensively anyway. 7 points with 1 rebound for Ibaka. He had a block and he had a 3 in his 28 minutes. Not a great night there. We saw Randy Foyd resurrected, unfortunately. Campaign still played 4 minutes, but nothing to get too excited about. While Andre Robertson played just 20 minutes and had 0 points, which is completely unsurprising. Let's transition now and look at the games that are going to be held on Monday. The first of those is the Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat, and we have some disappointing injury news. Jonas Valanciunas has been ruled out for the remainder of the series. Hassan Whiteside has been diagnosed with an MCL sprain. Now, somehow the Heat have listed him as questionable. There is zero chance he plays. Zero chance he plays. With an MCL sprain, there's no way he plays 2 days later. He will miss minimum... Steph Curry just had an MCL sprain. He missed 2 weeks, and his was probably the best variety you can have. You would think that we've seen the end of Whiteside in this series. If we haven't, he doesn't play game 4. There's no chance he plays. The questionable tag feels like the biggest load of shit I've ever heard. There is no way that he is 50-50, and that is what the questionable tag is supposed to indicate. He is not a 50-50 chance to play here. Really disappointing. Valanciunas was breaking out. The Raptors are going to struggle now. They're going to have to insert Bismack Biyombo there, rely on some more offense from Patrick Patterson, and that's not going to happen. So they're going to have to go back more to DeRozan, back more to Lowry, and we know how well that's worked out in this series. Very, very, very pivotal game 4 here. The Raptors really need to get this victory, extend themselves a nice cushion, because if they don't, I fear that the Heat could get them now with this injury. Valanciunas is very, very important to this team. On to DFS action. The Heat are favored by 5.5. The total is 190 for this game. Let's look at the point guards. Kyle Lowry is at 7,900. He's going to get opportunities to put up numbers, definitely. He put up 36 in game 3 in what was clearly his best game of the playoffs. But at 7,900, it is quite expensive. There aren't many point guard options that are out there that are great. There's only 4 games on. Lowry's in consideration, but from spending around 8,000, Lillard's the guy that I want in the second game of the night. But Lowry might be an option to go in a tournament just to go away from who I think will be the number one guy, which will be Lillard. Dragic at 6,500 was criminally underused in Game 3. He only put up 12 points. He wasn't his best night, but he needed to play more than 29 minutes. Do they go back to him? I would think they would have to. He just expressed some displeasure with the way he was used. At 6,500, if you're short on cash and you can't spend up for Lillard, Dragic is your only option, but he could have a 30-point night. I don't think that's crazy. Corey Joseph does great stuff, doesn't translate to fantasy, and there's no other point guards here in this game that are really really worth mentioning. Shooting guard, this is another night where you're spending up on your shooting guards in your lineups. You're going cheap at center, but you're spending up on shooting. You're going cheap at small forward, but you have to spend up on shooting guard. So it's going to be a too high-priced shooting guard sort of situation. We've got Wade, we've got DeRozan here. 7,600 for DeRozan, 8,100 for Wade. Now, Wade was tremendous. He had 53 in Game 3. He's at home. I think Wade is a great option at 8,100. I also don't hate DeRozan at 76, but without Valanciunas, there's going to be more pressure on him to take bad shots. I don't love him in that sort of scenario. So Wade is a pretty good option, and then pair him with either a CJ McCollum or a Klay Thompson in the second game. But you've got four high-priced shooting guards who should be considered in basically every lineup. DeRozan is averaging 35 across the last three, but at 7,600, it's not quite where it needs to be, whereas Wade's averaging over 40. So he's a little bit better in that sort of sense. But you could make arguments for either guys and say, okay, well, the Raptors don't have Valanciunas. The Heat don't have Whiteside, so DeRozan should be able to get to the rack a lot easier. So you think about it in that sense, maybe you do lean to DeRozan because he's going to be able to get to the rim. He's going to have less fear of getting his shot blocked with Amari Stoudemire and Josh McRoberts in there. Maybe that works in his favor. So he's not a complete write-off, DeRozan, but he's someone you do have to be cautious with. Joshy Richardson, Terrence Ross at 3,600. This is not the I don't think this is a great spot to go cheap, but if you want to play against the field and go a different way, Ross is not a bad guy to look at. And Gerald Green had 19 in Game 3. He's at 3,600. So I would be looking at Ross over Green. I feel like he's more likely to get minutes. But with Justice Winslow not playing at all in Game 3, maybe they run Gerald Green out there again and he becomes a decent option. So he is someone to consider, Gerald Green. I would have Ross and Green both over Richardson. And Normie Powell's not playing at all at the moment. He's playing 4 minutes, so I don't think he's really worth considering. At small forward, Damari Carroll was average in Game 3. He's at 4,700. Small forward is a spot where you're going to have to go cheap, so Carroll is a great option to look at. And Joey Johnson at 5,100 had a bad Game 3. I think he bounces back. He's averaging 26 across his last three. And if you get your 26 here, I think that's absolutely fine and does his job at 5,100. Justice Winslow, well, the guy didn't play, so I don't think we'll be looking at him. At power forward, we're talking Luol Deng at 6,300, who's been okay, but really not spectacular. 12 points in Game 3, averaging 19.6 across this series. That's not enough at 6,300. You think he'll have a decent game, and this could be the one with Whiteside out. So I don't hate using Deng here. I think he's a decent guy to look at, but he's definitely not the best power forward play on the board. Patrick Patterson put up 16 in Game 3. With no Valanciunas, he got 36 minutes in that game. You have to think he approaches or gets over 30 minutes in this one. And at 3,800, he is a definite guy to have a look at in a tournament. You pair him with a must-play, say like Draymond Green, and that could work out in your favor. Amari Stoudemire is another one that's interesting. He's at 3,500. We have to hear what the Heat are going to do. But if they decide, look, when Whiteside missed games in the regular season, they went with Stoudemire. He played 24 minutes, and he was a good DFS value guy. In Game 3, they went with Udonis Haslem. They went with Josh McRoberts. So that was interesting. Let's wait and see what they do in terms of lineup decisions. If they're starting Stoudemire, I think you can feel pretty confident you're going to get 20 minutes out of him. And at 3,500, he becomes a reasonable punt option. At this point, it's a little bit up in the air. Haslem was good. He had 19 points in Game 4. So if they go with him, absolutely fine with running him out there as a cheaper option. Josh McRoberts at 35, not so keen on him. Luis Scola played 6 minutes in Game 3 with Valanciunas out. Not overly excited about playing him, though. The guy that you want, and in a cash game you basically have to, is Bismack Biyombo. FanDuel's raised his price by $1,200 up to $4,700. Fair enough. Everyone is going to have him. He's going to be the starting center. He should play 30 minutes. It might not translate into much, but everyone is going to have him because you're going to be spending up at shooting guards. You're going to be spending up for Draymond at power forward. We've got no Valanciunas. You've got no Whiteside. You don't have many. The other centers are Mason Plumlee and Andrew Bogut. Like, who else is a center here that's worth using? Biyombo is definitely the standout guy to me. If you want to go contrarian, you throw Bogut in there in a tournament, but Biyombo in a cash game feels like the way that you have to go. Golden State And Portland is the second game, 2-1 to the Warriors. We're in game four back in Portland. The Warriors are favored by 5. The total is 215 points. Steph is still listed as doubtful, so we don't think he's going to be out here, or don't think he's going to be playing here. Dame Lillard's at 8,900. He had 58 in game three. Almost got to chuck him in there. And if no Steph, I like Livingston at 4,800. He had a quiet game in game three, still put up 21.6 DFS points, and at 4,800, that's not a failure. So I think that he still has to be run out there, and that's a pretty good pairing to me, Lillard and Livingston as your DFS point guards. Brian Roberts, he's not going to play enough to have any sort of impact. At shooting guard, the other two guys who I talked about, McCollum and Klay Thompson. Thompson's averaging 41.5 across the three games so far. He's at 8,200. Absolutely fine to get him out there with Steph out. CJ McCollum at 7,100. He's averaging 30 in this series. So he's not quite as good a value, but had a really good game three, putting up 35 points. And I think game four at home, he is definitely in consideration. It all depends on where you've got your money in other spots. But I do like McCollum. I do like Clay. I actually prefer probably both of those guys over DeRozan and Wade. But there's a few options of the ways you can go at shooting guard. If you want to go cheap and buck convention at shooting guard, Alan Crabb at 3,900. He's played 30 minutes in three of the last four games. He hasn't done much with it, but he is averaging 20 points. And at 3,900, that's okay value. It's not bad. He can get hot. He could give you 25 points, and that's not a bad return. Gerald Henderson, similar at 3,800. Don't put quite as much faith in Henderson as Crabb, but he's another guy to go for. And Leandro Barbosa on the Warriors. He played 18 minutes in game three and put up 16 points. He might get close to that again. I don't love it. I'd be going Henderson and Crabb over him, but he is someone that you can consider or look at. At small forward, another bunch of cheap options here. Harry Barnes, Andre Iguodala, Mo Harkless. Harkless I wouldn't be touching. He played only 7 minutes in game three due to a hip complaint. Now, he's listed as probable for this one. That doesn't mean that he's going to play many minutes, especially with the way Ed Davis plays. Not sure we're going to get Harkless out there for very long. Harry Barnes at 4,400. I think he's an okay guy to get out there. Not too exciting. And Andre Iguodala at 4,600 was really poor in game three. I think Iggy bounces back at 4,600. So I like, say, an Iggy Damari Carroll pairing, or an Iggy Andre Joe Johnson sort of pairing. You could even put Harry Barnes in there, but I'm just not. I don't have much confidence that Barnes is going to have a big game. Had a question come through from Jay Motion. He says, "Quick question: what percentage do you think Steph plays? Does Kerr give him one more game until they're at home?" The percentage I think Steph plays in this, I reckon it's about a 20% chance that he plays in this one. Probably less. 15% would be my guess. I don't think he's out there. Thank you for the question, Jad. I don't even know if you're listening live, but I'll answer it live, and I'll tweet back at you as well. Let's look at the power forwards in this matchup between the Warriors and the Blazers. Draymond is up to $10,000, but that shouldn't dissuade you. He's averaging 58 in this series. He had 62 in game three. With no Steph, you almost have to use him at $10,000 and find some cheap options around him. Eddie Davis at 3,800. He had 24 points in 30 minutes in game three. They went with him over Plumlee. They could do it again. So 3,800, definitely fine to use. But if you've got some cash around, Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,900 is worth a go. Now, his consistency is all over the shop. We don't know if he's going to be big or if he's going to be small. He won't be probably 36 points big, but he could be 30. He could be 29. And at 5,900, I think that Aminu is a pretty decent guy to use. Spates, McAdoo, probably not. At center, we're talking Bogut, we're talking Plumlee. Bogut's at 4,500. He only played 11 minutes in game three. He put up 21 points, though, and he's averaging 23 points in this series at just 18 minutes. And at 4,500, I think you absolutely can consider Bogut if you're going away from Biyombo. Plumlee was really marginalized in the last game at 6,100. To me, it's Bogut or Biyombo. Not really sure I'd want to go with Plumlee with the way that he's been exposed a little bit in this series. Had a great series against the Clippers. Definitely not as good against the Warriors and against Bogut and guys like Festus Ezeli and Anderson Varejao, who you shouldn't be using in DFS. All right. We are done for today's podcast, guys. You can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. You know that. And you can tweet me questions at any time. Of course, follow Basketball Monster at Bask Monster, where we tweet out all the relevant information for the games as they occur. And you know about basketballmonster.com with all your DFS projections and tools, season-long projections and tools when the season is actually going. We offer heaps of stuff over there. I think it's at a pretty reasonable price. So make sure you're checking out all the stuff that happens over at Basketball Monster. And of course, Hardwood Paroxysm, articles, podcasts, general NBA banter. You find some really interesting stuff over on Hardwood Paroxysm and the Hardwood Paroxysm group of networks, including Upside and Motor and Nylon Calculus for all you stat guys, which I imagine is basically everyone who listens to this podcast. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.